Just a note to the commissioners, we have a new microphone system here, and if you press on top of these little buttons here, you'll see a red light go on, and it will also go on up near the tip of the microphone, and that will tell everyone that you want to speak. So I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Atascadero Parks and Rec Commission for tonight, February 23rd, 2006. And to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, Commissioner Leavitt, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Ausman.
Here.
Commissioner Boots.
Here.
Commissioner Jack.
Here.
Commissioner Livick.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Segrist.
Here.
Chairperson Matthews.
Here.
And Student Representative Buck Moyer. And the record will reflect that Commissioner Castaneda and Student Representative Solchenitz are absent.
Thank you. Time for the community forum. This is the portion of the meeting reserved for persons
of February 9th. I think we're off to a great start. It was wonderful to have Marge there and give the history. And it was actually looking back at what has been done to date kind of helped us get more of a sense of momentum than we would have had if we hadn't stopped and done that and looked at the history and looked at the efforts that have taken place. And so I would just encourage everyone to continue with the process. And I think we're going to have something that we're very, very proud of that will both meet the cultural needs of the community while retaining the natural biological integrity and ambiance, the rustic ambiance. I think we're headed that direction, and I just want to thank you for the efforts that have gotten us this far. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Anyone else like to speak at open forum? Seeing none, I'll close it and like to get the approval of the agenda. Roll call, please.
I'll need a first and a second.
I'll approve the agenda.
Okay. I'll second the motion.
Okay. Commissioner Ausman?
Aye.
Commissioner Jack?
Aye.
Commissioner Boots?
Aye.
Commissioner Livick?
Aye.
Vice Chairperson Segrist?
Aye.
Chairperson Matthews?
Aye.
6-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Now it's time for the commissioner announcements and reports. And are there such reports to be made or announcements?
Not here.
Okay, I've got just a quick one. And this I hope would be of interest to people that are here on this on the trails issue tonight. The San Luis Obispo County Trails Committee, which is involved with trails throughout the county, is looking for people to become involved in it, especially from the North County. There is some underrepresentation from our area, and the issues and the potentials for trails are substantial. So if there are any people interested in this, you could come and see me at any break or after the meeting, or you could call the Parks Department in San Luis Obispo County. Ernie Del Rio is the guy, and it's 781-5200. So, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Matthews, members of the Parks and Recreation Commission. Since the very early colony days, Atascadero Lake Park here has been essentially what you might call the living room of Atascadero. It's been a primary gathering place for residents in Atascadero. Since the colony days, the first pavilion floor came from Stadium Park, as many of you know, and was laid here in this very spot. And then ultimately the original pavilion was torn down and this building was built. And what has occurred over the years since the days of Chuck Paddock and the inception of the Charles Paddock Zoo is that the lake park has sort of evolved on a piecemeal basis. And what I mean by that is many of the infrastructure of the park, the buildings, the bandstand, the park benches, all manner of improvements in the park have been made largely on a volunteer basis. We see a lot of picnic benches and things like that constructed by the Kiwanis Club, for example. We have the lights in the lake park that were donated by the Rotary Club. But what's been absent in all of this is any real central architectural theme or any design standards or guidelines to guide the improvements of the lake park. We have a beautiful park. It is, I think, the heart of our community, and we're starting to see some wonderful things happen downtown with the Carlton Hotel and the Sunken Gardens and the historic City Hall. And we began to look at the lake park with a little bit more of a critical eye than we have in the past, and we thought that the lake park would benefit from a set of design guidelines that would guide future development, so we didn't continue to improve the lake park in sort of a hodgepodge manner. And we wanted to start to unify the themes, the colors, the materials, things like the benches in the lake park. We have several different styles out there now. And so what we did was the city retained the services of David Main, architect, and his partner Jessica Hamilton, to come in and assist the city in developing a central architectural theme and a set of design guidelines for the lake park. And I personally view this. So tonight we've asked our consultant David Main to take us through his research as he's worked with city staff to develop a couple of design alternatives for you, a couple of architectural themes, and he will present them tonight. And what we'd like to do is come out of this meeting with the commission making a recommendation on one of the themes that are proposed tonight so that they can be further developed and refined by Mr. Main and brought back to the commission with boards that show examples of things like benches, lighting, buildings, what they're going to look like, exterior, the type of roofing material, the colors, all those kinds of things will be developed out of this set of guidelines. And I was going to mention we do have community groups out there, such as the Kiwanis right now would like to rebuild the bandstand. And I think everybody would like to see a nicer bandstand for our concerts in the park in the summer, for the community band on Tuesday nights in the park. And the question is, what should that bandstand look like? And that's the kind of thing we're going to address tonight. The Rotary's another club. They want to create some shelters out there in the lake park to provide more shade for the Tuesday night barbecues. We'd be looking at what kind of a shelter should we have out there. We just want a pole barn, I don't think. And so that's the kind of thing that would influence these design guidelines. And finally, even the Babe Ruth League, they have some buildings down there that are rather old. I think the termites are about the only thing holding up some of those buildings, and if they dropped hands, the whole thing might fall down. I went out there the other day, and there was dry rot all throughout one of the walls that I inspected near the women's restroom. And Babe Ruth is interested in improving those buildings, and we want to be able to give them some design guidelines to go by. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Mr. Main, and he'll walk us through our draft design guidelines tonight.
Thank you, Brady. That's a big build-up. I hope I can follow it well. Thank you, commissioners, for inviting me to actually propose on this project, and I'm very happy to be here to talk about the research that we've done. I've been accused of being very long-winded in the past, so I'm going to try and keep this as short as I can. Okay, so my purpose here today is to discuss the research conducted in an effort to develop guidelines and maintenance of the existing facilities that we have here. We tried to get a vision of their viewpoint. We discussed the current conditions and operations and maintenance of the restrooms, the pathways, the lighting system, picnic areas and group facilities, the irrigation system for landscaping, the lawns, all the landscaping, garbage collection process, benches, barricades, baseball facilities, and the children's play structures. What we found is this is a rural park. Much of these improvements, as Brady mentioned, were built by service groups and individuals with the intent of making this a better place to be. They volunteered their time. Their surplus and donated materials are evident in all of the early structures. They've served us well. However, time and decay has rendered some of these facilities ready to be replaced. Rather than elaborate here, where our time is limited, I've prepared a report, which you all have a copy of, to review at your own pace. And your comments in writing on that report are welcome. I need to find out what your point of view is as well. So I'd love it if you'd write what you think, what you observe, and fax those back to me so that we can incorporate that into our guidelines. So let's turn our attention to the architectural styles that we investigated. My team actually identified five architectural styles that were built in the early colony days. The colonial style, the arts and crafts style, mission revival, Italian Renaissance, and neoclassic Palladian. Although we reviewed and we noticed all these styles are evident here, we felt that it was appropriate to limit the proposal here to the colonial style or the arts and crafts style for the consideration of new buildings developed here in the park. The pavilion is very arts and crafts in its architectural style. So the two styles we're proposing are arts and crafts and colonial. The primary characteristics you'll find in arts and craft style buildings are shiplap, simple or straight tapered columns, windows and doors that are trimmed with wide flat trim boards, windows that have divided lights or divided panes, and attic louver vents on the gable ends that either have vertical or horizontal louver elements. Next slide. On our colonial style, we find more organic cement plaster finishes for the exterior finishes. We find that the roof slopes are more steeply pitched and that the overhangs are more narrow. We find sinuous or curved arch elements either on the roof line or over the entryways and over some of the windows. We find sinuous roof projections over the building entries. We find that the roofs are supported with brackets that have more graceful curves to them. We find windows with divided lights, and we also find doors trimmed with simple flat trim boards. So I'm asking you to consider one of these styles and give us your guidance, and I'm here to answer any questions you might have.
Commissioners, are there any comments or questions? Seacrest?
Yes. Regarding the architectural styles, right now you said currently there's five. So are you suggesting not to limit it to two styles, but to limit it to one style, to pick between the colonial or the arts and crafts?
Yes, I'd like you to choose one of those styles, and then we'll develop the guidelines based on that. And all of the other elements, we'll expound on some of the other elements that would be characteristic of that. And we'll develop vignette drawings that will show, for instance, how columns would be used to support, say, the corner of the bandstand, and some guidelines for the roof slopes and the roof overhangs, and the materials to be used for those improvements.
Commissioner Castaneda.
And once we choose a particular style, will you come back and give us projected?
Mr. Bing, how would you describe the architectural style of the original colony homes we find here in Atascadero?
The very earliest ones?
Yes.
I see most of those as being more colonial style. And then in the later, say between the 1918 to 1925, that we saw more colonial styles built. And that was more of a bungalow style of the colonial. And then we started to see more arts and crafts after that. But the civic buildings that were designed and built, for instance, the administration building at the school is an Italian Renaissance. The printery is Italian Renaissance. So we see those other styles here as well. The hospital up on the hill is Mission Revival style. And frankly, those particular styles, although they're very nice, you don't see any of those buildings down in this area. That vernacular just doesn't seem to be here in this vicinity and in the vicinity of the lake. So that was the reason why we wanted to focus you down to the colonial or the arts and craft as the one you would choose from.
Do you believe there's more arts and craft style homes left in Atascadero or more colonial style homes?
My consultant is telling me there's more arts and crafts. We went to the Historical Society. Yeah, we have hundreds of pictures, and we sorted through those pictures and chose various homes from them, and that's actually where these tracings come from that we are projecting. Is that one's the Colony House, and that one is right next to, up on Santa Ynez, I think, next to the Boniface's house.
You know, it appears just in your description, Dave, that the shiplap and shingle siding finishes, mm-hmm. the just the simple straight lines and the straight columns in that arts and crafts period, that seems like that would blend so well with the park in that woods way. The others look a little fancier.
I agree with you.
They're pretty, though. And there was a lot of stonework, too, right, in that with those? Didn't you find a lot of stone, rock?
We did find a lot of stone used, and that is one of the elements that we'll be pointing out if you choose arts and crafts as the style. We also found, I had no idea of how rich the architecture is in Atascadero until I did this study and went to the Historical Society and got the addresses, and we drove around. We spent two afternoons driving around, taking pictures and looking at various places all up in the mm-hmm. north east part of town. And it's incredible. And there's some beautiful houses that have been restored back to some, appear to be fairly original, that are just gorgeous. So, yeah, it really is great what we have here.
Mr. Jack? I would tend to support Commissioner Bootsy's thoughts, particularly from the standpoint that the colonial, you've got one of your major features as being organic cement plaster finishes, and I just don't see that working its way very well into the park itself. So I would support the arts and crafts.
This building actually does have quite a bit of cement plaster on it. It's just they've broken it up with accents of wood and stone in various places, and it's a very durable material, so there's a lot to be said for it. However, the more, I don't know if I can't necessarily say that fiber cement is a more modern material, because we've had fiber cement materials around for a long time. We're finding that Hardy Plank and Hardy Board has come out with a whole line of products that look like the shiplap wood siding that we see on these earlier homes, yet it's completely rot resistant. You paint it once and you don't have to paint it again practically forever. It's really a good material. And that is what we would suggest, is that the materials be as rot resistant and as
it's a T111 siding.
We haven't figured that out yet.
I personally like both of them, and would probably be happy with either of these. But, you know, I kind of tend toward more the arts and crafts. If, you know, the metal roof on this building and mm-hmm. a lot of the buildings, especially up and down Moore Road, how's that fit into the style discussion?
You know, some of the earlier arts and crafts buildings did have metal roofing when they could afford it. Metal roofing is quite expensive. When you compare it to composition shingles. But it has a 50-year lifespan, and the manufacturers have made efforts to design it so that it looks like other materials, so you don't even know that you're looking at a metal. I had no idea that this was a metal roof until someone pointed it out to me. I thought it was still the concrete tile that was originally put on it. But there's no doubt that the materials, we can fashion almost any look that you want with contemporary materials in these days.
Commissioner Castaneda?
No.
Mr. Sechrist?
My light's still on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, since it is, I just want to say that I support what Barbie started off with, and that's arts and crafts, because the dormers and attic ventilation and the arched roof projections, I don't think would blend as well in this park as the arts and crafts style.
Other comments?
All right, voice of dissension. I really like the idea that the uniqueness of Atascadero comes from our history. And our history is in the colony of Atascadero, and that's a theme that we have resounding throughout our community. Some recent signage that we put into Atascadero emphasizes the colony of Atascadero. And I think that the secret shopper that we've had recently indicated that was commissioned by the city of Atascadero says, indicates that we need to draw on our uniqueness. We don't need to be another town. We don't need to be another area. We are very attractive, and we're very unique, and that is our draw.
To a broader question, which is, I'm questioning the need for one style, because what I think makes Atascadero unique is the diversity of styles you find throughout our neighborhoods and throughout our community. It's not a planned tract that was done in one style, and you often find homes in different styles right next door to each other, and that is the community character of Atascadero. So I'm asking, I guess, the basic question right up front, and I hope it gets a little discussion before you decide. That said, however, I think if you are going to settle on one style, I would tend to go with what I think is the emerging majority and prefer arts and crafts, because it better blends with the pavilion and because it better lends itself to grading into what I think is a more appropriately rustic style for non-building type structures, more park-specific type structures, where you have the stonework and so forth. So you might say I'm giving kind of two different directions here. One is to question why it needs to be one, but if it does, I'm indicating my preference. A couple of other details. The bandstand, I've seen one master plan where the bandstand was moved down toward the shore and surrounded by concrete. I am vehemently, vehemently opposed to surrounding it with concrete. The whole magic of that bandstand is that it is surrounded by grass and people can recline on the grass, and you have the character of being on green grass and not in an urban type of a facility. The other thing I would mention is in relation to shade for the picnic tables, the best possible shade for the picnic tables is trees, and particularly on the west side. If you have metal type shades over them, show up on a Tuesday before the band concert when everyone is eating there, the sun is coming from this way. Those shades will be totally useless to the people eating, but more trees on the west side that cast a dense shade and create the wonderful sound of leaves in the breeze. That's the kind of shade we need in Atascadero Lake Park. So those are my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Mr. Frank?
Seldom do I disagree with Eric, but I think up in the future, and I'll bet you the cost of this building, the heat cool this building is significant. It should have been designed as an energy efficient unit, and it could have been beautiful, but at that time it wasn't designed for that purpose. But the arts and crafts design with the overhangs to provide for shade during the peak of the summer period will save a lot of air conditioning costs. Thank you.
Sir, may I have your name for the record?
Fred Frank.
My name is David Broadwater. I didn't come down here to talk on this, but I don't really have a dog in the fight about which style, so I'd like to talk more a little bit about substance. Fred mentioned it a little bit. I don't know what you're planning on building down here. I can't really get in my head an idea of, I see these pictures of houses or buildings, and so that causes me to think that regardless of what kind of style, make sure that whatever you do, you check into energy efficiency, passive solar, even straw bale, contact the Green Building Council, people that are very much up on this and on the cutting edge of making sure there's energy efficiency so that these things can pay for themselves as far as heat, lighting, stuff like that. That's all I have to say. I think you need to add that into whatever you do in terms of style. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Hampton. I believe you said that this building, the pavilion, is arts and crafts style. And since this is the largest building in the park, I just think it would be better to have other new, smaller buildings kind of blend with this. So that's why I would go with the arts and crafts. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak about this?
Geraldine Brazier, 3202 Monterey Road, Atascadero. Rick and members of the commission. I am inclined to think that the arts and crafts would be more appropriate. Although it's an attractive building, it's a little higher maintenance. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak on this? Not seeing anyone. I'll bring it back to the commission. Oh. Sir, cancel that last statement.
Honorable Commissioners, can you hear me? My name is Ernie Porter, and I've lived here for 87 years, and I've seen vast amount of changes in the Atascadero and the lake, and many of them are not improvements. They're changes, all right, but they're not improvements. I'll give a couple of small examples. When they decided to build a swimming pool at the lake, it wasn't done right, and it created a what I always called an ugly mess behind the bandstand, the gazebo there. It used to be a nice shoreline for the lake. I'd like to see that changed. Now, that's been fenced off so people couldn't use it for many, many, many years. Another thing I see, put their boulders around the lake. And I don't know who puts those boulders there, but they're not walker-friendly. I have a wife that has to sit down quite a few times on the way around. And you don't have benches all the way around the lake. And some of those rocks could have been put in a little bit better position so you could sit on them. But very few of them are. And it wouldn't take too much effort to have a few of those so somebody could sit on them. Okay, that's enough. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Porter. Anyone else? Yes, sir. And if anyone else wants to speak after him, maybe we...
Because it costs more. The arts and crafts style, that's your ticket. It may not have T111 siding, but the colonial style fits better into what the park does. It takes you back. It takes you back to a better time and a better place. I'm for the colonial style. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, no one else? Let's bring it back to the commission. Any comments, commissioners? Mr. Jack?
The one individual or a couple of them on the energy efficiency, is that, Brady, is that in the event that we have to do any remodeling or updating, is that in the plans at this point in time, or is it something that could be pursued?
We are definitely pursuing it in the Charles Paddock Zoo, as the zoo is an education and conservation organization. The master plan that has been adopted by the city council, one of the goals in there is to make the buildings that are constructed LEED certifiable or energy efficient buildings. In the lake park that we're talking about now, which includes such structures as restrooms, things like the ranger house and so forth, we would make an attempt to do that. A number of people have mentioned maintenance and cost and things like that. We have, for example, the restroom right over here near the ranger house needs to be replaced. It has outlived its useful life. So what we wanted to do is settle on a style for a new restroom so that we didn't end up with a metal outhouse or something like that in the lake park. And so that's what this process is all about. So where possible, we would definitely strive to make the structures energy efficient. But there aren't too many of those types of structures in the lake park itself.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just going to give my opinion again. But it really, in looking at the colonial and comparing the two, it seems like the colonial structure is a little more formal looking, a little more elegant looking. I love the and just have a real good time out here with this, with our sycamore trees and our oak trees. It seems like that'll just blend in beautifully. And I would love, though, for us to keep that colonial look in some other place when we build something else, Brady, somewhere else.
Thanks. Commissioner Sechrist?
I'd like to ask the designer a question, if I may. Regarding the cost to build the colonial and the arts and craft, I've heard that it's at least 25% more to try to, based on trying to reproduce that type of structure versus, you know, the more modern structure like art and crafts. Is that kind of an adequate figure? Because cost is always a factor.
That's a really tough question to answer for a number of reasons. Back in earlier days, we would figure out how much material we were going to put into a building, and we'd calculate the cost of that, and we'd take half of that number for labor, and we come up with a cost estimate. In this day and age, we'll figure out how much the materials are going to cost, and then we'll double that for our labor cost. So what we're finding now in the industry is they're trying to create engineered materials that you can use less of so that you decrease the labor to put it in. And since you're using less material, you have less labor cost as well. If you're going to try and reproduce a colonial, an early colonial house, it's going to cost a lot of money. It's probably going to cost, several hundred dollars a square foot. If you want to do that and have everything be traditional materials. So I don't know if I've answered your question. It's a really hard one to answer without actually having a number of sticks to count and then to calculate how much it would cost.
Okay. So then. So then with the new materials, the colonial costs might not be
as we developed our designs. And one of the ways that we would save money would be to change exterior cement plaster for an applied board like T111 or some other types of siding, because it's less expensive to purchase and put that on than it would be to have a guy come out and do exterior cement plaster. So there is definitely some economy in putting up a series of boards rather than putting up an applied finish like cement plaster.
Thank you.
Other comments, commissioners? Oh, Ms. Buck-Moyer.
Okay. A lot of people are saying that it seems like the arts and crafts style is more natural, but I've looked at a lot of architecture, and the way that all the lines in arts and crafts are flat and straight, and although they have exposed boards, those flat lines with the long overhangs are actually very unnatural. The curved lines actually fit a lot better with the general nature of, like, just nature. Nothing's perfectly flat or perfectly straight. The only problem with that is that this building does have those lines, the perfect A lines with the exposed beams. So if we did do the colonial style, we would have to make sure that it fit in with the Lake Pavilion, because this is very arts and crafts. So that's the only problem with it.
Thank you. Other comments, commissioners? Only thing I would say about this is both of these styles are attractive. They both have quite a wide presence in Atascadero, and my feeling is that I could be happy with either one or another one. I think that a lot of the issue of whether something's good or not is in the execution, and so
our building and the zoo.
So at any rate, we would like to hear maybe a motion on this. Okay, we close it to.
Did you close it?
Yeah. Public comment was a little while ago.
Got an important question.
I'll tell you, we could probably break this if we could make it brief. Though we have a big item coming after this, sir.
I wouldn't wait in it now.
You wouldn't be allowed to.
I'd like to make a motion.
Thank you.
I'd like to make the motion that we pick the arts and crafts architectural style.
I'll second that.
Any discussion on the motion? Good roll call.
And that was Commissioner Jack on the second?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Vice Chairperson Sechrist?
Yes.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner Boots?
Yes.
Commissioner Castaneda?
Yes.
Commissioner Osman?
No.
Commissioner Livick?
Yes.
And Chairperson Matthews?
Aye.
6-1, motion passes.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. I'm sure we're all eager to get to the next item, which is a discussion and action by the Commission on the Upper Salinas River Corridor Enhancement Project. Brady?
Yes. Chairman Matthews, members of the Parks and Recreation Commission, this item is on your agenda. We've had a number of public meetings and special meetings on this project. As you know, the Upper Salinas Los Tablas Resource Conservation District is in partnership with the California Conservation Corps, the Planning and Conservation League Foundation, the Atascadero Land Preservation Society, the City of Atascadero, and the City of Paso Robles. They have received a grant for over $800,000 to do improvements along the Atascadero Creek Corridor. The primary objectives of the grant are to restore habitat for land and aquatic species, provide critical habitat resources, and also to protect habitat resources, cultural resources, and archaeological resources, reduce pollutants such as excessive sediments, provide trails for public enjoyment, and educate the public about the measures that improve the environmental conditions of the creek. I think a lot of focus has been given to the trails aspect of the proposed project, but we want to keep in mind the other objectives in the project as well. The project would provide trail connections to a number of areas in the city, primarily on the west end and the east end of Atascadero Creek, and that would be from the Salinas River up along the Traffic Way Park area where the new recreation center is going to be built, along there through the trail would essentially stop there at 101 and then would be picked up down at Portola Road and then continue west, and there would be connections to the lake park and the trail around Atascadero Lake, as you know. There have been a number of public meetings, and I don't want to rehash too much because I want to let our presenters go ahead and inform you about the process so far and the steps that have been taken to consider this project. We've had a lot of good public input, a lot of very good suggestions. We've had concerns that have been raised. And so I'd like to turn the presentation over to the Resource Conservation District staff, Ellen Perez and DJ Funk, who have a presentation about the project itself, and then our own Parks and Recreation Commission has an ad hoc committee that also has a report to make about the project.
Thank you, Brady. First, I want to thank the Parks Commission and especially the ad hoc committee, who's worked incredibly hard in terms of trying to take this project, make it the city's project, because we're partners in this project, and involving the community in terms of identifying what is the project that's going to work best for this town. So thank you all. I appreciate it. As Brady was saying, we are the Upper Salinas Los Tablas Resource Conservation District. And basically what that is a resource conservation district is an organization that partners with the Natural Resources Conservation Service, which used to be the old Soil Conservation Service. And our job is to work with residents in terms of reducing soil erosion, increasing habitat, doing a lot of productive things, and we've done a lot of work actually in doing stream restoration in conjunction with private property owners. So that's just to give you an understanding of sort of what our background is. What happened just recently, really, in spring of 2005, is the Resources Agency, the State Resources Agency, approached the Upper Salinas Los Tablas Resource Conservation District and said, "We would love to give you some money to do restoration work in streams and to put in trails." And we thought that sounded pretty good for this region. We spoke to both the city of Paso Robles, and we also talked to the city of Atascadero, and found that they too thought this was a great idea. So we have the next slide. Basically, what Prop 40 funds do is that they really encourage passive recreation. You can see Bruce Boniface there standing next to one of the bridges that the CCC tends to put in. Habitat restoration, Atascadero Land Preservation Society, or ALPS, Atascadero Historical Society. The CCC is going to be doing the installation and a lot of the restoration work, and then our organization as well. Next slide, please. So what the city, when we were entering into this dialogue, was how could this benefit the city and the city residents? Basically, it addresses what Brady mentioned, that the city would like to become more pedestrian friendly. Also, whether folks are aware of it or not, the state has set new standards for water quality. Atascadero Creek actually doesn't meet some of those water quality standards for sediment and some other water quality problems. Planting riparian vegetation helps to control some of those things and will help to meet that unfunded mandate. And the other thing is, as we've found in our meetings, is that a lot of people want to see environmental enhancement happen in Atascadero. So here you can see is the city's downtown revitalization plan. The green dotted line basically shows the portion of the trail that runs through the downtown area. So if you think of it starting, I always say Peabody Plum, but it's El Camino right above where the Colony House is, and then heads downstream and basically reaches the Anza Trail. So it connects into that trail that runs along the Salinas River. This is leading to that connectivity that the city really wants to see, to provide people with safe trails on foot and not necessarily having to be in their cars. Next slide. Then there's also this area in Traffic Way with the vision of creating more areas for recreation. Again, the dotted green line is a trail that would be a part of this project and would provide safer access for kids, say, going from the junior high to get to some of these recreational sites and other members in the community as well. Next slide. So the meat of the Prop 40 is the recreation, passive recreation, and also the restoration efforts. As a partnership with the city and the other groups, we realized we wanted this to be a community-based planning process. This was not required of the Prop 40 fundings to involve the community in the process. That was a decision that the city and the other partners decided. So when we got the funding, which was around May 05, the Parks and Recreation Commission held a meeting and an initial presentation was made. Then they formed an ad hoc committee, realizing that the trail is proposed to be. Next slide. So an overview on those community input. We've gotten a lot of community input, and it's very, very clear that people really do value habitat, and they value the natural aspects of their community. They also desire walking and equestrian trails. The question is, where do you want them? That's not always clear, and that's one of the challenges. Regularly, concerns were raised about safety and privacy. There are existing problems now with off-road vehicles in the stream, and people's concerns that if the trail is put in, it's going to make the problem worse, or they're just simply that they want it to be controlled, even if it doesn't make it worse. Concerns about maintenance costs, and then also, again, back to that resource value. They're concerned about disturbances to the wildlife. Will that reduce the quality of the wildlife's experience there? Next slide. So one of the great things is of course, restoration is a high priority on this. The CCC has done a lot of this kind of work, so we have expertise in that. So has the RCD. It's budgeted for planting vegetation, for doing some bank protection. Unfortunately, it's a little light in here, so you can't see, but that top photo shows exposed vertical bank. Streams generally in this area shouldn't have that kind of bank. That's an eroding bank. It's unstable. That means that sediment is heading downstream. Also, that's when, if we had larger trees in that area, you could lose some of your major vegetation. That decreases the the habitat value. If you see in the lower picture, you'll see we have large sycamores in that picture and some understory. Generally, a really healthy riparian area will have what they call vertical complexity, dense vegetation going all the way up and down. That creates habitat for birds. It also protects cover for wildlife. So we'd like to see some more of that kind of habitat along Atascadero Creek. And then I put in here, we'll also be doing removal of noxious weeds. Star thistle, that really spiny yellow flower, is not a native plant, and we'd love to see it to go away. Not to say that this project will get rid of it all, because it is hard to get rid of, but we can try to get rid of some of it. And then also privacy screens, because we recognize that people are concerned about their privacy, and some of that plantings can go to building habitat as well as to buffer homes from the trail if that is a needed thing. Next slide. Here's an example of the CCC at work. The CCC does a lot of work in terms of bank stabilization, revegetation. They do a lot of hand. Basically, trails tend to move the vagrants away. That then, rather than being next to a used trail that the public is frequenting, they go someplace that's less public. As far as off-road vehicles go, part of the design in some of the areas, you'll see the map back there. At the last public meeting we had, or the ad hoc committee meeting, we had members of the public write on the map and show us where there were problems, where there was illegal access to the stream by off-road vehicles. We have the ability to put like big boulders and locate them on parts. One place that people have said on the corner of San Gabriel and 41, regular access with off-road vehicles. With these kind of decorative rocks, we can put a barrier there and plant vegetation. Plus, again, with people being there, it's going to become less desirable because it is illegal what they're doing, and more people are going to make it less of the going someplace where nobody's going to see area. Finally, community partnerships, much like what's happening with Amigo de Anza for monitoring the trail, taking care of the trail. The city is also looking into other opportunities for either partnering with the CCC to do some of the care of these trails. But again, that's a long-term vision that has to still be worked out. Next slide. So to wrap it up, this has been our timeline. The state didn't give us a whole lot of time to put this all together. May 05 through March 06, we've been working hard to get community input and involvement. We would love to start doing weed removal, revegetation, and trail development. This next month in March would be delightful, and wrap it up by April of 07, because the project has to be completed by 07. And the next slide, just a reminder, the goal of life is living in agreement with nature, and that is hopefully one of the things that we can do, and this will be a part of it. And thank you. If you have questions for either DJ or me.
Commissioners, questions for presenters?
The question I've got, one of them, is, and it's always puzzled me on how we got into these kinds of things. How do you come up with estimates of what percentage of the population is going to use this for the dollars that are invested? An animal tempted?
Right. The state looks at it as an opportunity to not use to the extent that it could be used. This trail will link to that trail. And so we're hoping that both trails will benefit from that. We're going to make a connection through the edge of the water company property to facilitate that. We're also going to make a connection, by the way, before I forget, we're going to make a connection to the Stadium Park and the Pine Mountain area as well. So there will be an improvement to that, and then there are a series of trails that could be developed in a further way up in the Pine Mountain areas. But no, we don't have any specific numbers to indicate the exact volume, because it's not like we have traffic going through some area that we're going to be diverting over to this location.
Okay.
Thanks.
Another question I had is, and a big question in my own mind, is since the city has financial challenges, shall we say, and it's going to become the city's responsibility to maintain all of this trail system on an annual basis for the next 20 years. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. And
it's a part of the stipulations from the state.
Okay, what does maintain cover?
Well, maintain means that you keep the trail operational, you'd repair the small bridges that would be built, the loss of probably vegetation in some areas would have to be done if we lost a lot of riparian vegetation, for example. In terms of how does the city pay for this? And I think it's a good question. If you look at the series of other trails that are being developed in other communities like this, and Paso Robles is dealing with this at the same time that your community is they found that the financial advantages to the community, means people coming into the community, wanting to spend money here, wanting to enjoy the facilities that you have, end up providing an increase in you might get some increase in tourism, you'll get people that will want to stay here for the fact that you have a beautiful thing to enjoy. And so to say that it's going to match the number of dollars it would take the community to do that, I couldn't say that, but in the studies that were done, there was an analysis done by the...
It's a unique unto itself. I know my son went to school there, so...
Oh, okay. I wouldn't say that you're going to... you won't match that.
Yeah, because that's one major concern over and above some of the ones that have been expressed by some of the people in this room, is if we're going to do something like that, I don't want to see it fall into disrepair and become, revert back to it. I've walked the creek. That is a challenge right now. Mm-hmm. So I do have some concerns as far as the maintenance costs for that.
That is something that the community has to deal with, Brady's has to deal with, and come up with answers so that it's financially feasible for you, at the same time provides the enjoyment and the educational values that we're trying to get out of the project.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Other commissioner questions, comments?
Ellen, earlier you mentioned that the water quality didn't quite meet state standards. And you suggested that you were going to clean up the area and such. Would that, you think, make it to where we would meet state standards?
It would go to contribute to that, and perhaps I'll ask Monica Hunter. She actually has some more specific information as to where the city did fine and where the creek did fine and where it did not. I'll hand off to Monica.
Good evening, and thank you for allowing me to speak this evening. I'm Monica Hunter, and I'm with the Planning and Conservation League Foundation, and also I happen to be a board member of the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. What I would say is that an element of this project is going to actually implement the kinds of actions that the Water Resources Control Board is looking for from municipalities and counties in implementing protections for streams and creeks and rivers. This is particularly important for the Upper Salinas, where the impairment from sediment has qualified for US EPA impairment listing on 303D list, which the community then sees these improvements occurring. So you can look at this as a recreational opportunity, and certainly it does enhance and offer ways in which people can start to enjoy the beautiful creeks and river environments. But I think on the other hand, from the city's perspective, looking at the unfunded mandates and opportunities to use funds that actually achieve multiple benefits. And that's where I think my effort has really focused, is in trying to link together these actions so that those benefits are clearly understood, that you're achieving a number of goals at once without these funds, you're still going to have to take these actions at some point, and certainly things like stormwater management is the next area that will, through the water, San Luis Obispo Water Quality Partners, is working collaboratively to help the smaller municipalities to get on board and take, you know, the obvious actions that can move forward without a great deal of funding. So there's lots of ways that the city of Atascadero is going to be participating in this, but this to me provides kind of the leap to get some serious work done. If I could ask DJ to remind me how many acres of vegetation will be restored through this and the cost that that represents under this project? Is it?
Toughy question. Yeah. I can't remember the exact amount, but the number of acres, but the sections that will be done will be those parts of the stream channel along which the trail will be that are degraded at this time. So what we're going to be doing, I think the numbers were 40 acres, but I can't remember that number specifically, so don't hold me to that. But is it? Oh, phew. Okay. But the areas that we'll be doing will be like picking spots within an area, because you might have 200-300 feet of good bank, and then we might have a short distance of 20-50 feet where we have to do some work and then some other work. You know, so it's going to be sort of a leapfrog, because certainly parts of the stream channel are in really good shape now. Other parts are not. So we're going to be, our effort there will be in the parts that we can replace the riparian vegetation. And I can say one of the reasons that we've had that loss of vegetation is over time the stream channel has been degrading fairly severely in some parts of the downtown as you get close.
Oh, yes. Ad hoc committee report from the commission, ad hoc committee on this subject. And, Commissioner Sequist, please.
Actually, Rob will be doing the presentation tonight.
Good evening. Rob Leivick, member of the Parks and Rec Commission and the Ad Hoc Committee. Let me pass out the memorandum from the Ad Hoc Committee to the Commission. Go to the next slide. The Ad Hoc Committee was comprised of Jay Sechrest, myself, Paige Buck-Moyer, and Christopher, and I'm not going to butcher his last name. The process was through the holding of ad hoc committee meetings, public and neighborhood meetings, including Parks and Recreation Commission meetings, and then also field meetings to review the project. Our recommendation to the commission is to approve the revised proposed Atascadero Creek project and forward the recommendation to the city council for approval. The Atascadero Creek Trail project will benefit the entire community for years to come, but we do have some recommended project revisions. Some of the issues that we focused on were access limitations for off-road vehicles, private property issues, security and safety concerns, environmental and habitat concerns. The areas that we focused on, the physical areas, were in the upper Atascadero Creek above San Gabriel Avenue, the reach above Portola Avenue, and then lower Atascadero Creek would be the near Peabody Plum, from there to the Lewis Street Bridge, the West Mall Bridges and Capistrano area, and then below the Via Bridge. The above San Gabriel Avenue, we agreed with many of the RCD's conclusions, but we had some modifications that we would like to it's above there. We wanted to add a sign at that point indicating that it is the end of the maintained trail and that hikers continuing on should respect private property, and that the unmaintained trail continues X amount of miles or yards to the west. And the trail should be the maintained portion of the trail should be on the Highway 41 side, where it's wider between San Gabriel Avenue and where we're proposing the trail to end. We would like to, there was a proposed parking area at the intersection of San Gabriel and 41. We would propose to relocate that to where the bonsai guy parks, that wide area along along Highway 41. It's about 500 feet east of that intersection. We were proposing to put boulders at the existing dry vehicle crossing, but that would still need some massaging due to safety issues and access, emergency access through that point, the exact positioning of the boulders. Signs should be posted at the parking area at San Gabriel Avenue and at Highway 41, talking about where the trail is, and again reminding people to respect private property and that the trail is only maintained to a certain point. The rest of these recommendations on there are the same as the original RCD project. Jeff, you go on the next slide. This is the area that we're talking about that is above San Gabriel Avenue with the proposed trail dry crossing there. So the maintained trail would end in about this area here. That would be the end of the maintained trail, and the existing de facto trail would continue to the west with those provide better pedestrian access to that start of the trail area at San Gabriel. And then next slide. The area between San Gabriel and Portola, we've talked about the parking area there at the bonsai area. You can go ahead and go to that slide here. There, at Portola Avenue and west, the modifications would be again keeping the trail on the Highway 41 side of the creek, and pursuing a parking agreement with the owner of Dos Amigos for use of that as a parking area and kickoff point for the trail, and pursuing signage at the lake park and near Dos Amigos parking lot, directing people where the trail actually exists, and using boulders in this area also to block off-road vehicle access to the trail and the creek area. And this identifies the area around Portola and Highway 41, trying to limit vehicle access there, establish a parking lot, parking agreement there to have a joint use with the restaurant, and establishing a new crosswalk at the intersection of Portola and Highway 41. Lower Tascadero Creek, one of the issues at near the Peabody Plum and between there and the Lewis Avenue Bridge was we didn't think lighting would be good because of the high operation and maintenance costs. Bollard lighting tends to get vandalized quite a bit, and to make lighting bulletproof tends to be very expensive. And to concentrate a sort of the resting area, the picnic tables and benches at that location. This is showing this downtown area where the trail would come up towards El Camino there. Next slide. West Mall Bridges in Capistrano, we're in agreement with the RCD. It's a good spot for additional parking. We didn't believe that where the trail was going to be located up on the floodplain bench, periodic flooding wouldn't be much of an issue. And then keep or incorporate the small parking lot and bench area right near east of the Via Avenue Bridge. With that, that ends our recommendations to the Parks and Recreation Commission, and the committee would be happy to entertain any questions from the rest of the commission.
Are there questions of commissioners for the ad hoc committee?
Yes. A little clarification.
Sure.
Under the above San Gabriel Avenue, referring to Dry Trail Creek Crossing, is that the place that people currently?
That's not the place that people currently cross. That's in the trail development. There was going to be a new dry creek crossing, and which is, if we go back to this slide here, that dry creek crossing, I believe, was proposed to be right in this area here.
So it would be a new crossing altogether.
It would be a new crossing altogether. Okay. We're not recommending that be developed, that basically the maintained trail end at that point, and with signage saying an unmaintained trail continues further west.
Okay, and then my other question, on reaching an agreement with Dos Amigos, if that isn't realistic, is there a plan B for parking? Or?
Well, the plan B for parking would be to leave the, this was additional parking to the original RCD project, just to provide another spot to park. There's existing parking at the lake park that could, and the trail could be accessed by using the new crosswalk there.
Okay. Thank you. Good job.
Thank you.
Took a lot of work.
Yeah. Yes, I have a question for you. Your ad hoc meetings, I know you listed the committee members, and at our presentation meeting, the last one, we had a lot of residents, and I was...
...portion of the trail through that area while still doing the environmental enhancement along there and allowing it to continue as a unmaintained trail.
Did some of those folks come to the meetings that you held?
Only, I think, one of the ad hoc committee meetings did members of the public show up at and voice any concerns about the meetings. I'm not sure how publicized our ad hoc committee meetings were, or we announced them at the Parks and Rec Commission themselves, but they weren't publicized in the paper as far as
I was just meeting. Concerned that, you know, that I just wondered if they had an opportunity, because there were a lot of people that were had concerns.
Correct, and mm-hmm. most of those the people that had their concerns expressed them very well at the
and you addressed them.
At the public meetings, and
okay.
Moving, having the trail come down along the on the 41 side, that alleviates some of the concerns of the residents.
The privacy concerns, having okay. it be in the not actually in the backyards, but close to the backyards mm-hmm. of people. This is on the other side of the creek.
Right.
It's in the and it maintains it in the wider area between the highway and the creek.
Okay.
Other commissioner comments, questions?
I still have one more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. someplace in here, there were two boardwalk sections, approximately 250 feet each, will be installed along the creek bank. Now, along narrow sections between San Gabriel Road and Three Bridges. Now, is this...
Those wouldn't be required with the ad hoc committee's recommendations because the trail would end prior to those boardwalk areas.
Okay. Thank you.
You mentioned a pedestrian bridge off the San Gabriel Bridge.
Correct.
Did you research the feasibility of that?
The RCD will be looking into it as the project develops and looks at the costs associated with that
extend or help the city to extend some kind of pedestrian access off of the bridge. So if we don't go up to, one of the thoughts was we would go up instead of behind the houses up to Carmelita and then down the street and then connect to the existing trail, what you called, I think, it's not a developed trail, but it's an existing trail.
That's correct.
Right. And then the only other thing that I wanted to mention is that if, because one of the recommendations the ad hoc committee is to still do the improvements, is that we can do the improvements to the channel, the restoration stuff, if we do the trail, there's sort of the money is a trails project because that's it's River Parkway's grant from the state, and so we can do enhancement where we do trail, but we can't do enhancement where we don't have trail or where we don't improve a trail, even if we did a low-key trail like, you know, the minimum 4 feet or something like that, but we can't justify to the state to do the enhancement part if we don't do some improvement and also don't have a connection like the signs you talk about. We'd have to have some kind of a sign that said this is still the continuation of the trail, but it's going across that dry crossing that you mentioned and then continue up to the end. So that's the only, I think, the two things that, the one was we couldn't do the enhancement based on the way the grant is written in that section, or couldn't put boulders or do, you know, prevention of vehicular access, because that's really the vehicular access is happening at that upper end there at where Carmelita continues again is one of the major points where that occurs. So anyway,
see Chris.
That concerns me because part of the recommendation from the ad hoc committee was based on a report from RCD, preliminary report saying that, part of the recommendation was that to have from San Gabriel forward just a natural area, and they would still go ahead and clean it up and possibly do the boulders and everything. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, our recommendation is tied to that. And the way he presented it is the fact that we took your last report to us and made some alterations and changes. So I'm a little confused because that's what I based a lot of my decisions.
The DG has that part of the trail that you're talking about is an existing trail that continues, for everybody else that doesn't know about what that area is, it continues along the edge. It's actually in the public right-of-way of Carmelita, but it's not an improved part of Carmelita. Carmelita becomes a dirt road, and then the right-of-way actually continues around the edge of the stream channel all the way to another section that is paved on Carmelita as you get over to where everybody uses I'd call it a wet crossing and dry crossing, but where the cars go across is different from what we were talking about, which was the pedestrian trail. We could probably get away with not putting any other facilities up there. Like we could eliminate the parking. I don't think we could move it or something. You know, we just have a certain number of parking spaces we have to meet, so we could probably try to figure out some places that those could go. But we'd have to at least put a trail in and an indication that it goes to this point, so that we can then justify the improvements of putting some boulders in or doing some other improvements. There shouldn't be any problem doing that, but we'd probably at least have to improve the existing trail. And I would say from a trail standpoint, that's really one of our problem areas for the trail, because those people who have walked along there with us. It's a part of the trail which has had enough use that it's become a drainage, a little bit of a drainage channel as it comes down there. So we'd need to bring it up to a point where it doesn't have a drainage issue as well. So, but that's it's just something that we'd have to consider and how we'd do that end of it. We can end the trail there, and we would have to figure out, you know, what we do then in terms of the length of trail or modify the contract or something so we don't do that section of it. But they're sort of like tied together, I guess, the best way I can put it.
Other commissioner comments? I'd like to get this one more.
Okay. Carmelita. I must have missed that when I was out walking. I didn't go all the way to Three Bridges. But where is it in relationship to Old Morrow Road East?
Public, anyone wishing to speak? We're going to limit this to 5 minutes. I'm going to have to try to keep time with my watch because we don't have the timer. And start with...
Hi, I'm Ellen Barreau, 9608 Laurel Road. And I'm very excited about this project, and it's something that's very long overdue for Atascadero. So many other towns have a lot more opportunities for families to get out and do something athletic. I think it's also important that the city fulfills obligations to the public on many levels, not just recreation, but water quality and providing a safe environment for families. I think we need to move forward with it. I don't think we should be too shy about maintenance costs and things like that. We have a lot of community organizations in our town who pitch in a lot already. And I think we just need to be really supportive and trust the judgment of the RCD to put a good project together for us. I'm really happy to see how much community involvement there has been already. And I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Joe Montoya. I live on Carmelita Road. The maintenance of this project is going to be a headache. As it is right now, the city is strapped for money. I know that they're looking to put in a tax issue on the ballot. And so that means that we're already strapped for money. So the maintenance issue is going to be tremendous. The restoration, we have no problem with the restoration at all. In fact, we encourage that. We think it's a good idea. But the trail, no, we don't need the trail. There is existing trail there now. We don't need it enhanced. It's fine just the way it is. If you start putting this DG down, then you're going to have the runoff. Solely because you know what DG is, decomposed granite. Water won't percolate through as readily as it will to the soil. So you'll have erosion taking place. So here comes the city again, taking care of it again. And then we have the problem of where are people going to use the restrooms? There are no restrooms. There are no facilities at all. The other problem is that they're going to make this trail come from the park and go east. Everybody wants to enhance downtown. That's west. You want people to come downtown to do the shopping.
Steve Allen, I live on Ensenada Avenue, just above Via Bridge. I think that you need to question what it is you want to do here. Protect the environment or introduce humans to a trail, because you can't do both. It doesn't happen. No one ever made a buck protecting the environment. But you introduce people to downtown and people will make a buck. I think you just have to realize that the environment will be sacrificed if you introduce a large number of humans to certain areas of this creek. In particular, is the creek area a mile above and a mile below Via Bridge. This is the only area in the creek that can support wildlife that requires water during the dry months of the year. This is from midsummer to late fall. Everything that is above that area migrates to that lower area where the creek runs 40 feet deep and down into the water table where the water stays year-round. All the wildlife that requires water goes to that area. I think that to continue the trail past the sunken gardens is neither safe nor viable. And I think it would be a disaster for the environment. And to put a parking area near Via Creek would eliminate nature from that area. I mean, near the Via Creek Bridge would eliminate the natural life in that area. And as far as maintenance is concerned, you know, all we're going to be doing is picking up fast food trash. And again, in the area where I live, on Ensenada Street, we're going to have large numbers of people walking by our house when no one's home, we're off at work, our kids are at school. And you know, a portion of those people are going to be looking for something to steal or something to take or an easy way to make a buck. And that portion exists. Now, you can try and deny it, but you can't. If it's 0.5% or 1%, those people are going to be there to steal from us. We have a new issue. We have tweakers out there, methamphetamine users. They don't sleep. They just walk and steal and look for money to take their next hit. I mean, this is a new issue. It didn't happen 5 years ago. Interrupts nature. He interrupts nature. Nature is what happens when man doesn't interrupt. Thank you.
Sue Linville, San Gabriel Road. I have a question that I'd like clarified, please. I've gone to several of the meetings, and I was told, as those at the meeting, that there would be no equestrian, no horses on this trail. However, tonight in the presentation, I noticed trail and equestrian trail. So could someone clarify for me, is there a portion for the horses to be at, a separate part of the trail, or...? Shortcut.
So anyway, what they said, basically, is I was trying to reflect what we've heard in the public meetings, and basically there is a large portion of Atascadero's community that would love to have equestrian trails, but no, this was designed to be a pedestrian trail. I encourage people to participate, because this is the commission to talk to if they want to see equestrian trails. So I wanted to have their viewpoints also reflected in that presentation.
Okay, because it was in conflict with other meetings, we asked the question specifically, would it be for equestrians, and it was said no, they absolutely would not be allowed.
But
and I'm not opposed to it, I'm just asking the question for clarification.
Yeah, I just mentioned it because I wanted to reflect those interests that had been stated at other public meetings.
Yes, thank you. My other comment tonight is to Barbie. Your question about the ad hoc meetings, I telephoned City Hall to get date and time what I understood at the last meeting it would be, and the young lady answering the phone told me the meetings were not open to the public. I said, I don't think you're correct. Could you check for me, please, because I was at the meet last Parks and Rec, and it was discussed we could attend, and she put me on hold and came back and said, I've checked, and they are not open to the public. So I have some concerns there. However, I would like to say to the ad hoc committee members, thank you. I felt like you really heard our concerns. I felt like your report back tonight, you heard us. 2 weeks ago, there was a very serious accident on the corner of San Gabriel and 41. I know a traffic light is to be put in there soon, which will be great because it will be helpful in that area. I still have concerns about a fence washed out at the base of our property. And my granddaughter and I, we like to take a quilt out there and spread it out and lay on it and look up into the big oak trees to look at the birds. There's just a multitude of birds. I know, I only got 5 minutes. We spread our quilt down into horse crap, and I just had it. I would say 99% of the people who ride their horses down there are highly respectful, use that area well, and don't give us any problem. But recently, we've had people come all the way up into the top part of our pasture with their horses, tie them off onto our tree, and then look at us up at the house and wave. I just think boundaries need to be set, and I have concern if we have another trail, more access. My community members, like I said, 99% of them, they're very respectful. But if we have a parking lot where people can trailer horses in, and, you know, where is it going to end? So thank you very much.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Bill Obermeyer from Carrizo Road, Atascadero. I've been a resident of this community for about 23 years. I'd like to thank the individuals here tonight for at least looking at this proposal for this trail. We have more and more building in this city as well as all the other cities in our community. More and more people need a place to go. They need a place to go for a walk so they don't have to walk along the side of the road. You know, I moved here because I have horses. The only other city that really has a functioning trail of any use is Morro Bay. You'll find that trail system is very crowded every weekend. There's people on bicycles, there's not equestrians, but it's very well used. That brings the city of Morro Bay a lot of money. A lot of people come there to use that trail system down there to go from Cayucos back and forth. It is recreation that brings money into the city. Therein, the city has more money to maintain that. They've paved sections of it and made it very safe to use. Atascadero has a unique experience here, an opportunity with the ANZA Trail, having this trail link into it, to be Atascadero, to be a community where people drive to and not drive through it. A lot of people are coming here now to use the ANZA Trail. This will tie into that. And I hope you would keep that in mind so far as to create less damage to the environment, because people will do what they want to do and just go down there anyway. So keep that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening. My name is Fred Mensing. I live on San Anselmo, the west side of town. I've been a resident of Atascadero for 40 years. I'm also the president of Atascadero Horsemen, and we realize that this is a more of a walking, hiking type trail. But we also support all multi-user trail in the city and in the county. We believe that that it's needed with the increased population coming to this the North County. We've been discovered that we need outlets. People need outlets. A lot of the big cities that are built up are now looking at ways to make these trails. Well, I think that Atascadero has a unique opportunity at this time to, as we are developing and getting increased population, we can now incorporate these trails into our general plans and do it. I was helped in the Jim Green Trail development, and a lot of the concerns voiced at that time were some of the ones I hear tonight: increased parking problems, vandalism, etc. I use the Jim Green Trail a lot. I hike it. I also take my horses up on it. And I think those problems went away after the first couple of months when people saw that most of the people using these trails, I'd say the majority of them, 99% maybe, are respectful of the environment. And they do respect, I know when I walk it, I pick up trash when I see it, stuff in my pockets. I've been involved in volunteering in trails for several years with the Forestry Service, with the county. Our group maintains trails on the backside of Margarita Lake. And so it's been my experience that bicyclists, hikers, equine people clean up after the trails, and they work on them, and they volunteer. Mountain bikers, they all volunteer to work on that. So that's about all I'd like to say. I encourage the Parks and Rec Department to adopt this and recommend it up the chain of command, and we get started on this in March of 06. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
That they exist in the community. The properties were sold, no, with horses allowed. However, it's being fenced tighter and tighter all the time. The people I bought my home from used to be able to ride to Templeton with no problem from their door. Now you can't ride anywhere without finding fences. This is one opportunity that we have to share a corridor that can take us to the, take us many places. I'm thankful that there's funding for this project. However, there will be degradation without having a common trail. If you say one is strictly for the hikers and bikers and no place for the horses will have to use another place. We're causing our own problem by not taking that into serious consideration. Take a look at the corridor. I'm sure everyone has walked that corridor. There's many homes right along this corridor that is proposed that have horses. So I'm just saying that is a concern. And I am also a member of the Atascadero Horseman Society or Club, and I would say that for my part that we would be happy to help with the maintenance of the trail, as there are other trails that we sign up for to help maintain on an annual, several times a year basis. Just one of the many people that I'm sure would help with your maintenance of the trail. Also, I live near the lake. The lake park has been improved. CCC was the group that did that, a beautiful job. And if that's a reflection of what we're proposing, this is a great, great project. They've done an excellent job. The same people that are walking the trails around the lake and using this are the same kinds of people that are going to be using this trail system. These are not vandals. These are your neighbors. You know, these same drug addicts are the same people that are walking on these trails. These same drug addicts are your neighbors, your children, your parents. You know, these are your community. So look again when you walk around the trail. I see wonderful people out there, and I see these same people you shouldn't be afraid of, but these you should wave at. And for the person that had a problem with somebody who crossed the line, many times people don't know where that line is. And if they crossed the line but waved, it was a friendly gesture participating in your earlier meetings, but your trail is close to Highway 41 as opposed to the safer side, which would have been the right-hand side of the... But we're happy for anything that you're going to do. I'm just saying that, you know, you're putting everybody closer to the road instead of on the safer side of the road. And if it's for the children and all that, you would have thought that it would have been nice to have it farther away from Highway 41. But anyway, please consider all uses of the trail is my point. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Fred Frank, I'd just like to reinforce what was said concerning the trail users. I think that the city ought to adopt the trail in its entirety. I'd just like to speak from a standpoint of a creekside owner who we've entertained people walking along the creek there for many, many years, hundreds of people a year, and we've had very little problem with vandalism from the trail users. We do have lots of problems with vandalism, with people driving on a car with their cars and dumping garbage over the bridge and dumping garbage in the parking lots and so forth. But the trail users seem to have a lot more respect for the land. And I have no problem whatsoever inviting any members of the public on our property, and we've never had any problems with trail users. I can speak from a member of ALPS where we've had we put a trail in on our property near Stadium Park, and as far as trail users littering, I have seen no evidence of it. I have seen evidence of people going out of their way to pick up litter at the parking lot, and the trail users will pick up litter at the parking lot. So I think a lot of the concerns that have been expressed tonight about trail users may be perhaps a little overreaction. I think the commission ought to entertain having the trail in its entirety. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Jim Patterson, and I have a question either for Mr. Cherry or the ad hoc committee, and that's regarding the portion of the trail that the ad hoc committee suggested remains maintained or unmaintained, that goes further west from the through us. And I think having been involved in creek restoration projects and access to the creek for the past several years, and also the Salinas River and the development of the Anza Trail, it's given me an opportunity to share with the community the value of having those resources. And we don't need to look far beyond Atascadero, though we can. Cities throughout the country that have natural rivers or creeks running through them have been successful in developing them to enhance their communities in a variety of ways, and some of those things have been mentioned tonight in the presentations. And as examples, San Luis Obispo is certainly the closest one, and all of you know the enhancement that San Luis Creek has led to the downtown of San Luis Obispo, and certainly we ought to consider that, and it is one of the city's goals to enhance the Atascadero Creek as it moves through the downtown. But bigger than that is the value of the Salinas River, and the trail that's being proposed along the Atascadero Creek will connect people to the Salinas River. And I think there's a greater awareness now in the community of the value of these resources and how they impact the character and quality of life for residents of Atascadero. And I do want to encourage the commission to approve the recommended trail, and I'm going to address some of the issues that I have heard tonight. We've had people speak during the public forum, people that have been involved in trail installation and maintenance throughout the county. We are fortunate in Atascadero to have some other trails that have been in place, the Jim Green Trail, as it was mentioned, the Blue Oak Trail in Stadium Park. I've used them. They get an awful lot of use. What I have noticed is what the other people have said, and that is that these areas are highly used, and they are actually well-maintained by the users. And I think the fears that if we open up an area to public use and we have increased public use, the resource is going to degrade, vandalism is going to increase, and we're going to have more problems and more expense. And I think that testimony that we've heard tonight from local people that either live along the A Creek or have been involved in trails, more exposure so we would have fewer vandalism and litter and maintenance and dumping problems there, and that has proven to be the case. So I really think that history tells us that making improvements and getting more people in on the trails and down into the resource areas is a better thing. It also, as people have said, connects the community to the resource, improves education. Concerns mentioned regarding habitat degradation and wildlife impacts, the resource people are very aware of those things, and they design the trail and place the trail in ways that minimize any type of wildlife disturbance or resource degradation. And the reason I ask the question to get clarification about that portion of the trail that goes further west from that dry crossing that's going to stay there and still be used, it may be to our advantage to go ahead and improve that section and let them do the creek restoration and habitat improvements that they're talking about doing along that section. It's there anyway. People can still use it. It's in the creek reservation on public land. And so I think maybe you ought to consider going ahead and making that improvement so we get the benefit of the restoration projects there. It's there anyway. And one final thing that I think we need to take a look at, the county in the next couple of weeks will be releasing a study on childhood obesity. Our Child Resource Network is studying that, and all of you are aware, I'm sure, of the problems that we're having with childhood obesity. One of the reasons given, besides, of course, diet, is lack of physical activity. And one of the reasons cited for lack of physical activity is opportunity to get out and recreate. And so I think it's to our advantage, not only for the health of our children, but the greater health of our community, to have as many opportunities as possible to get people out so they can move around and exercise. So again, I think this is a tremendous opportunity for Atascadero. We've got a resource agency that has a history of putting in these kinds of projects. They can do it right for us. The maintenance, we've been able to maintain our other trails with very little cost to the city. Most of that has been done by the trail users and other volunteers, so I don't think that...
My name is Tina Salter, and I'm a resident of Atascadero, although I have to say not actually in the city. But I am very much in favor of this creek enhancement and this trail enhancement. And it sounds to me like everybody else who's spoken before me has already brought up all of the points that I was going to bring up. So I'm going to just say I am for this, and I hope you vote for this and do this. This is a wonderful opportunity for the city of Atascadero and for the citizens of around the area as well. Thank you.
I'm Ursula Luna. I'm a resident of Atascadero. Honorable commissioners, I was for many, many years the chair of the Water Conserving Landscape Project, which was put in around the Colony House between the Historical Society and the Water Company, and many, many, many countless volunteers. We worked on that project, installing it countless years. And as we started, we were told numerous times, don't even bother, it's all going to be vandalized. You're not ever going to get it finished. In all of those years, we did not have one single incident of vandalism. There were times when we worked until late in the evening. It was already dark when we left, and we left tools laying there. And days later, they were still there. On that site right adjacent to the junior high school, we did not have any problems at all, but we had many, many comments as we started out that it's a hopeless project. We had no problems. I remember when the Jim Green Trail went in, I was walking it and I was thinking, well, I wonder if next to the trail it's going to all end up eroded because people will not stay on the trails. Didn't happen. People stayed on the trails. Stadium Park, I mean, those trails are off the beaten path. They are steep. Although it's right in the downtown, they're not that accessible. But people use them, and they are well maintained. And as the speaker before me said, it's the public that is actually maintaining the trails, picking up trash, and they are, if anything even falls, they look great even after years of use. And I think we are talking here of public property that either the city owns or the land conservancy here in Atascadero owns or historical society leases. And over the years, and it's an enormous opportunity that this community is being given. And I hope you're going to use it to the fullest and for the entire trail. And good luck with it. I think it's a great thing for Atascadero. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is David Broadwater. I've lived in this town since 1972. Raised two kids here who are now adults. I live up on Portola, cross the bridge all the time, live up right next door. I'm next door neighbor to Tom O'Malley, our city's mayor. So I know at least that part of the creek pretty well. I'm in favor of this project because I tend to be environmentally friendly, but I have my fiscally conservative side too. And some of the questions came up about how are we going to maintain, what the cost going to be. in terms of maintaining vegetation, wildlife. I'm concerned about not just the trail issues, but the folks who came down here and proposed this talked about how we're not meeting the water quality standards. There's going to be costs, apparently. Work need to be done in terms of maintaining vegetation for wildlife habitat. But my kids, when they were in sixth grade, went to Camp Keep, the Kern Environmental Education Program, and the kids got really into that. They can become invested in a program like this. I imagine that there are high school biology classes who could, you know, a tradition could get started where there's an investment in the school where people are involved. And will gladly work. I know from having taken the trail out at Rocky Canyon that Cal Poly has a project out there. So college-age kids, an environmental where they're, you know, planning and stuff. So plus there's a community organizations, you know, that we have Adopt a Highway program. There could be a Adopt a Section of the Trail Creek kind of a program where there's real community ownership. So I'm thinking a lot of the projected costs, if we think outside the box, and maybe people have thought about this already, but a lot of the costs could be taken up by volunteer organizations and by schools being invested in that. As far as enforcement, the signage that's out, people carry cell phones now. Put the police number there so people can call them right like that, tell them that there's something going on they need to know about. But I have a problem with this, especially when you deal with not just with the riding and the walking and the recreation, but if we're talking about water quality. There are two trails here. There's one that goes from the west and ends at Portola, where I live. And then there's another one that starts on El Camino, going to help meet the water quality, wildlife, you know, habitat thing. So I don't know if this fits into the project that you're using now, but just thinking about the creek itself, it seems like we have to do something to take care of that section as well. I know there are some areas you're not going to do horse riding. From where I live, I can walk down from Portola into town through the high school under the tunnel, so I pass along there a lot. And this is not to get down on the high school kids or anything, but there's a lot of trash. There's a lot of pollution going on in that area. It needs to be taken care of if we're really concerned about water quality and wildlife and fish life, aquatic life, et cetera. So please, you know, add that into the city's thinking about taking care of this as one, you know, contiguous joined ecosystem here rather than just two sections that humans might focus on. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Trish Ringley. I live at 7985 Santa Ynez. I have something in common with your son, Mr. Jack. I also graduated from the University of Colorado. And I'm familiar with a community that really values outdoor experience. And with the climate here, this place is amazing. And I know, being apparently one of the only representatives with the very young children, looking forward to a long time raising kids in this town, the idea of improving their experience and our experience together as a family is really exciting, and I love to hear that this project is even being considered. A couple of concerns. it seems as though the idea of stopping the trail short seems like an idea that maybe is considering the property owners more than the users. I also am a property owner in this town, and I think that a problem with people disrespecting other people's property is a big problem and it needs to be addressed, but I don't think that stopping the trail short so that all of the responsible citizens in the community don't have access to it because of the few who are going to trash regardless of it being maintained or not isn't fair. I think that those of us who would like to use a trail and have it maintained and reliable, we're going to be the ones who are going to be out there, as with the other trails in town, helping to keep it up and helping to pick up the trash and whatnot. And the issues can be addressed, hopefully, on a property by property basis to keep people where they belong. But the spirit is good. Most people want to use it and use it well. My other concern is with it being located next to the highway. So I think those two issues seem concerning, but I know that I started a group when my two-and-a-half-year-old was born for young moms with new kids to go hiking. And I was in charge of it, and I was embarrassed at the utter lack of good experiences to invite people here. We were always going to San Luis, to Morro Bay, to all the other communities around, never here because there was just not a good hiking experience here. And I think making this one an amazing hike is going to really benefit the community and bring people in and show them all the other great things we have to offer. So I like the project. I hope it goes forward. Thank you.
Good evening. Good evening. My name is Marty Brown. I've lived in Atascadero for 35 years. My two kids were born and raised here, and I love this town. It has a lot going for it. Shopping, maybe not, but the things that are important to me, the ancient oak trees we have, the live creeks, the parks, the people here, that's the important thing. Some of the most fond memories I have is when my kids were growing up and I would take them for walks on trails. Now, these trails that we used to walk on 35 years ago, they were probably in abandoned cow pastures. They weren't designated trails, but we found the trails. And then as time went on and the development took over, we lost these trails little by little. The idea that we could have these beautiful trails right in our own town again is wonderful. I'm very excited about that. I want to commend you on the Jim Green Trail, the Stadium Park Trail, and all the other wonderful places we have to walk now. It can only be added to, and I'm really looking forward to that. I highly recommend that you adopt these trails. Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is David Grimshaw. I live on Santa Rosa Road, and I'm really enthused about this project. It sounds just wonderful. I do a lot of hiking here in town, half of the past 15 years, including the De Anza, Jim Green Trail, Stadium Park, and the existing creek trails. And I'm really pleased to see the creek finally becoming viable as a hiking trail. It's been so difficult to traverse from east to west. I think it would be really smart, though, to have that trail be contiguous all the way through as much as possible and not have it stop and start and that kind of thing. I think it would be nice if that trail went all the way to Morro Bay in some fashion, event road kind of thing. The trash comes out of the vehicles. It doesn't really go along with the people very much. I think mostly people just pitch the stuff out of the window. What we really need in this town, I think, on all the trails is trash barrels. If we had trash barrels along the trailheads, or at least at places along the trail somewhere where the city could get to them easily, and had them anchored so no one could tip them over, and so the animals couldn't get to them, then all the people who use the trails would gladly dump stuff into the can. It's just common sense. It would save a whole lot of maintenance by city staff or other people and make it easier for the volunteers to maintain the trails. But I'm really enthused about the project. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sandy Lowe, and I live on the west end of Carmelita, and I need a clarification that if you go with the option of building the pedestrian bridge on San Gabriel and you need to utilize part of Carmelita as the walking path, what part of Carmelita would be used as that walking path?
DJ, would you like to respond to that, please?
Talking about the section of Carmelita, along the edge of Carmelita from the intersection with San Gabriel, people would walk on the, we can probably improve with some DG on San Gabriel, which is the busy street, and then we probably wouldn't do any of the improvements other than just say sign, turn, go down Carmelita to the connections where we'd be able to do the improvement on the existing trail if we improve that part of it.
So you could perhaps landscape part of my front yard. Yeah?
I doubt if the state would pay for that. But
it would be right down the street, though. Right down the street.
It would be the edge of the street, right.
Okay.
Yes.
DJ, would you mind hanging out kind of close to the
Yeah, microphone? I'll stay over here this
Thank
time.
You.
So.
Good evening, Bill Varghese. I live on Carmelita Avenue. A couple clarifications. It was mentioned that flooding is not a concern. I've lived in my house for around 20 years now, and San Gabriel Bridge, the creek has gone over that bridge several times during El Nino, and then a couple months later. There's tremendous amount of erosion that takes place when we get the heavy rains, especially on the west side. The other thing you were mentioning is that crime would maybe go down because of this pathway. Well, right now, I've lived in my home for 20 years. I've been robbed directly from 41. They parked on the turnout, and they just walked across the dry creek and broke into my shed and robbed me. My neighbor was also burglarized, and he was subsequently hit upside the head and died 3 weeks later. Same scenario. They came directly from 41. Now, if you're going to put a pathway, it is actually above the homes on the west side, so they look right down into the backyards, and they, you know, basically can see anything you have in your yard. And it's just to me, it just provides more of an opportunity. That's all I have to say for now. Thanks.
Thank you.
David Ryan, live on Carmelita. You know, I've spoken before anti-trail. I'm not favorable about it now even, but I want to applaud the ad hoc committee for at least trying to mitigate some of the concerns of the property owners. I definitely don't want want the public walking on my street on Carmelita, so I hope I didn't hear what I thought I said that he said. I thought it would be interesting to go and see what the bond issue really was supposed to do. And this is what we voted for, whether you voted for it or you didn't vote for it. To protect rivers, lakes, and streams, to improve water quality and ensure clean drinking water, to protect beaches and coastal areas threatened by pollution, to improve air quality, to preserve open space and farmland threatened by unplanned development, to protect wildlife habitat, to restore historical and cultural resources, to repair and improve the safety of state and neighborhood parks, the state shall issue bonds totaling $2.6 billion. Now, we spent a good deal of time talking about horse trails and walking paths and everything that has to do with recreation for people who like trails. And I must give credit to the RCD people, even though I disagree with them in most of my conversations, that they did emphasize reparation of our streams and rivers. And that is the intent of what our money that we borrowed is supposed to do. So I would ask you to reevaluate this and try to be sensitive to the land and not focus so much on how wonderful it would be to walk on a trail, even though, you know, in places where the public gets lots of use, it would be probably appropriate. But I don't really understand completely. I guess I do with bridges built to nowhere. But I don't really understand how completely we get detailed line items that are tied with trails to restoration. And I'm sure that the folks here could work with you and mitigate some of those matters regardless of how the grant was developed, because it sure, when you vote and you go and read this on the ballot, it doesn't say anything about building 500 miles of trails throughout California. Maybe there's other legislation that does, but when you pass this, it sure doesn't say that to me. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Linda Montoya. I live on Carmelita on that western section that's in question. In fact, the back door of my husband's workshop is approximately 15 feet from the edge of that creek. So we're talking about my backyard. I do appreciate the ad hoc committee really seemed to have heard what we've been saying and our concerns and worked with it. But I'm not understanding. I have a question about the response that unless those trails are built through there, that no improvement can be done, that the monies can't be spent for improvement of that area unless a trail is built through there? Is that what I'm hearing?
Do you want me to answer the question so she can stay up there for a second? And
sure.
Yeah, okay. We'll try to. The reason I responded in that way in the discussions about it, when we were first discussing this with the Resources Agency, and they contacted us rather than us contacting them, which
sort of reverse. Normally you search out for grants like that, and so we were, the effort was to try to create as much, because we're in a resource conservation district, so our projects have typically been more in the line of doing creek enhancement projects as opposed to doing trails. And so they told me, this is our discussions related to the contract, and they're basically, they're set up with a certain goal that whatever their agency had that related to this money that they were given from the bond issue, because it was spread throughout several agencies within the state of California, is that we, because I wanted to do some restoration work that didn't necessarily relate to right where we were going to do the trail system, and they, my assumption is we'll probably have, and I've discussed this a little bit with Jeff, we'll probably have a difficult time in saying that the trail ends here and it's not an improved trail, because they made such a big deal about the fact that it has to be maintained for 20 years, that we'd have to have a trail and some, or at least some form of trail if we didn't do, let's say, no parking, no picnic benches or anything else, but at least to have something related to that area so that we could justify the enhancements in that area. We could go back and try to do the arguments with them, you know, in terms of that, if that's the goal. This is not our project, it's your project. It's the city's project. So, you know, we'll build it where you tell us to build it. We'll put in the improvements that you tell us to build as long as they meet the state's requirements for our contract on the project. So I don't want to give you an impression that we won't go to bat for whatever it is that you guys decide tonight and whatever the city council or city decides in the long run for the project. So we're here to try to make it happen, and I'd like to work with the community in the neighborhood area as much as possible, try to figure out ways to mitigate that. The idea of putting a trail, by the way, along Carmelita is only because of the issues. If we cross the creek at that other location, it will not be crossable during certain parts of the year when we've got too much water in it, and it also will be a difficult area. We're trying to make it as handicap accessible as possible. So our biggest goal there was really to try to figure out if there was some way we could get people around so that if they were on crutches or in a wheelchair, that they could make it all the way up to the end of the where the existing trail is now. And that section we'd probably do a very minimal improvements, maybe the 4 foot. We have a requirement to do 4 foot minimum trails. That's why I mentioned that. So I hope that answered that question. I'm not sure. Okay.
I'm not sure.
I think he says he'll look into it.
Well, yeah, well, I would say exactly.
My concern is, and the ad hoc committee really kind of helped with that. As I said, our back door is literally on the creek bank, and we have a safety issue with the pathway being on our side of the creek. With it being moved over closer to the road, that does give us a little more security, and that we do have a little space. We can, you know, I don't have to worry about my young granddaughter stepping out the back door and disappearing. We have a little more leeway there. I see this as being a wonderful project for the downtown area. I can even see the Portola area, which could be tied into the park, the lake, and the zoo. I have trouble seeing that little piece, that little tail, going westward from San Gabriel is really being beneficial as a trail area, as a hiking area. I see it more beneficial as a wildlife area, preservation area, which it does beautifully right now. And also, it would be less difficult to maintain if you didn't take that extra piece. Right now, my granddaughter and I are the people that maintain it. We pick up trash from San Gabriel up to that bridge. That's our area for trash cleaning. No one else, not the city, no one else. And it is trashy. So there is that issue. And I think that's about it. So right now I'm just not in favor of it going beyond San Gabriel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Kathy Hustis, 31-year resident of Atascadero and Environs. I'm an in-park volunteer for the National Park Service for the Anza Trail and your North County representative to the San Luis Obispo County Trails Advisory Committee. I also spend several work days every year with the pick and shovel working on various trails here in the county. And that includes coastal trails as well as the backside of Santa Margarita Lake. That's one of the ways that we get trails taken care of here in the county is that we get out there and we work on them, literally. One of the primary goals for a community moving from an agricultural to an urban basis is to retain the rural atmosphere of the area. In order to do that, one of the most important means is by maintaining non-motorized access within the community, a place to walk and to ride a bicycle, in some cases a horse or a mule. A trail along the creek provides this corridor of access. It also lies in residential areas where accessible recreation for exercise is so important. Given the growing obesity in our country, we all need to get out and walk. It provides great connectivity both to the lake and to the Anza Trail along the river. And given the water quality issues that we're going to be facing in the coming years and the way each community is going to be responsible for its solving its own problems, I would strongly recommend that you again, look at the recommendation to not work on the creek area west of San Gabriel. To address a couple concerns, adequate trailhead parking is available here at the lake. I think trailhead parking is important, and it is important to avoid congested areas, but 97% of trail users are very responsible, respectable individuals of the community, and you'll find a dramatic lowering of crime and incidents of vandalism when you allow these individuals into an area which is otherwise only visited by individuals that shouldn't be there. Safety. Tascadero already has a model. The volunteer patrol for the Anza Trail has been very successful and provides a very good example. We worked with the Tascadero Police Department. You've already got a model for your volunteers that will walk your trails. Again, maintenance. You've got wonderful groups right here in Atascadero that would volunteer to, and you can also call in the 3CMB, the mountain bikers. They'd be glad to advise as far as making environmentally safe and your handicap maintained trails as well.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair and Parks Commissioners, I'm Dorothy Jennings and I'm from Templeton. I came tonight to learn about your Atascadero Creek project with special attention to restoration of the creek corridor to include recreational opportunities. Templeton conducted a recreational survey in 2003 with a significant survey response. Overwhelmingly, Templetonians preferred walking trails and nature trails over structured recreation requiring expensive, capital-intensive facilities. I commend you for undertaking this project and wish you success.
Welcome back one more time if you'll tolerate me. One of the things you said about the trail, I read it up there now, it said protect the banks. And so I have a little history to make about above San Gabriel Avenue and where Carmelita ends. A little plant it's like a willow. We call them willows, but I think there's something else. And they're very supple. And we have a climate that, where the surface of the creek is dry a good part of the year, giving plants a chance to get a toehold. And we have then floods in the wintertime. And this plant gets a toehold in the summer. And it starts growing. And it's a kind of plant that doesn't get washed out during floods. It's very supple, and it lays down with the flow and keeps the gravel protected underneath it. And then as the flood subsides, the plant starts raising up so that more gravel can form. And it builds up a gravel bank where the stream used to be. And what happens, and this is above San Gabriel Avenue, almost, two-thirds of the way to where Carmelita ends, this plant gets started, and I remember when the center of the creek used to be right just about in the center of the valley in there, and now it's divided. The plant protected the gravel, and as it laid down during the floods, and then it filled in and made a big bank. And what happened? I made a sandbar. What happened? The creek divided and started destroying Caltrans 41 on one side. The other side will destroy, or unless you put in boulders or something, it will destroy Carmelita and it'll eat its way on downstream. We should have that centered to save a lot of trouble. Now, we had a drought where these plants really, really built up and made a big sandbar. The result was eating into Caltrans. It caused, Caltrans had to repair it and protect the highway, so they put in boulders and brought in heavy equipment, and they crushed the pipe that fills the Atascadero Lake. Well, we'd had 5 or 6 years of drought. We really needed that water filling the lake, and the town really wanted it. So they found that they have to straighten up the beginning of the pipeline at the three bridges, because sometimes that bank gets worn away. But they repaired it, and they put it in a paper and told people that now we're getting water through the line. Well, it didn't happen because Caltrans had crushed the road, or crushed the pipeline, rather, in putting in their big boulders and so on to protect the road. Then they thought that they put it in paper, I don't know whether it again or not, that now we had water flow. Well, I checked out there the pipe where the pipe ends in the bottom of the lake, and there was no water flow. There was another place that was crushed again. So this can happen. This can happen again, and I think it will. And all they have to do, if they want to protect the banks, is when they see that little plant is making a sandbar and dividing the creek, why they won't have this happen. You'll have your path destroyed in that area if you put one in. We'll go lucky if we can keep. We'll be lucky if we can keep Carmelita, and Caltrans is going to be over there with their heavy equipment again. Now, we desperately needed the water when we had that right after we had that drought, but we didn't get it for a long time because of the creek doing its job. Well, it does the same thing in Salinas River, destroying people's land. And it's all done by this little plant. And I don't think anybody around considers it. Okay, that's enough of a comment. Well, I hope I didn't hold you too long. Thank you.
Good evening. Some of the plan I liked it on the East End. I want to ask the gentleman behind me a couple of questions here. You said you're going to come down with the trail on the highway on the Muro Road, and then you're going to cross San Gabriel, and then you're going to come in the dead end of Carmelita. That's a very poor plan. I don't think this thing has been thought through from San Gabriel to south of there, because the traffic is tremendous down through there. There's going to be a lot of wrecks down through there. And they talk about a trail down Carmelita. Two cars have a problem when one going in and one going out. The lady spoke about trash. For years, I picked up a lot of trash. There's going to be a lot more trash down there. This plan from San Gabriel South should be looked into because it's a bad plan. Thank you.
Sir, may I have your name for the record?
Luis Severa.
Thanks. I think we're going to take a 5-minute break here. We'll reconvene at 10 o'clock.
And just go straight out 41 and then up.
I'd like to get started with the meeting again.
Either way, where the people want to meet. So that's what I'm thinking. I thought after the meeting we'd get everybody who's going together and see who wants to drive. I have to come back.
Time to get started again. Folks, let's get going.
They have 1 o'clock. They're getting together. I'm thinking I might have to scoot out before it's over.
Boy, I wield a lot of authority around here.
Okay. Well, what if you're not here, we'll just go outside this. We'll call you and give you the time and place. Okay. Okay, all right, Dorothy. Thank you so much.
Please let's get started. Oh, okay. That's a lot more loud now. Let's get started with the meeting and try to resume public comment. We'd like to wrap this up pretty soon, so if you have anything that you'd like to say on this issue, I know a lot of people have left, but if you would care to come up, let's hear what you have to say. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Ann Crane, and I'm a 30-year resident of Atascadero. And I really hadn't planned to speak until I got talking to someone, and I do support the trail and support the trail in its entirety. And of course, I am an equestrian. I belong to Atascadero Horsemen's, and I would like to see it open to equestrian, but that is not the major issue. Atascadero does need trails. And one of the questions or one of the concerns was private property issues, which I understand is a concern. I would be concerned too, but it's been my experience. Where there is a designated trail, people will stay on that trail. Where there is an area that people use for hiking or equestrian or bikes, but there is not a designated trail, they will go the way of least resistance. And it might take them up into some backyards unintentionally or closer to their yards than they want. And if I'm on a trail ride and it's in an area like in the Salinas River where there may not be a trail, we're all over. We go, this looks good, this looks good. But if it's on a designated trail like the Jim Green Trail, the Anza Trail, or the trails at Montana de Oro or wherever, and it has trail markers, we stay on that trail because that's where we're supposed to be. And I think that if there is a trail behind those homes, that it will actually keep people away from their yards because the people will stay on the actual designated trail. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more people from the chairs out there would like to stand up and talk? Okay, we bring it back to the commission and I'd like to hear what the commissioners have to say. Mr. Jack.
I'd like, in response to one of the comments in particular, it's been a question in my mind all along. Point of clarification, why is the central section not included in this project? And okay. I think that goes to RCD.
Right, okay. When you first of all, make sure I want to know where you mean the central section from El Camino Real to
the black part on here.
Right. There were a couple of reasons for that section not to be a part of the plan, and one of the primary ones is actually a part of that stream channel isn't owned; it's privately owned. The city owns the section, all of the stream channel, all the way up to Three Bridges, and then Alps owns. The city is getting the part that goes from El Camino Real down to the past the school, I think, to the, and then Alps owns parts of the area along the road on. Okay. On so there's we had to do it where we were working with either the Historical Society, who has the leases on some of those areas, or the Alps group organization, and the water company at the far end, at the Salinas and the Juan Batista and the city is the primary owner at the other end. So that was one of the reasons, and then also there was some difficulty in the creek reservation area isn't quite wide enough in some sections to do it very easily in that other area. So we basically couldn't do that. We don't have enough time, as you saw the timeline
is
short. So.
Okay, well, I figured there was probably a good explanation. Thank you.
Anything else?
Could we just go over just briefly what is the ad hoc committee's proposal again? Would you just not detail, just so I can have it clear in my mind again.
I think the major recommendation of the ad hoc committee is to stop the trail at the maintained trail at the newly proposed dry crossing, and to have it continue as an unmaintained trail west of that location. For the most part, we're real close to the RCD a recommendation in all other cases.
Which
I think that's the major difference.
Is above San Gabriel.
Eliminating the parking, I think, was the other one.
Or moving the parking to
from that area.
Further west or further east on 41.
The Bonsai?
Yeah, to the Bonsai area.
If you give us some latitude on that, because I have a feeling we have to deal with Caltrans along that part, and the Bonsai, I guess it's what you call the Bonsai, which is probably, it's sort of like a small pull-out area that's just dirt, and so we'll give us a little latitude with working with the Caltrans folks, because I know they're going to probably be sticky on a few spots. We're trying to keep the trail as far away from their right-of-way as possible, so we don't have to. I think one of the reasons we didn't use that or show that area as a parking area was that we'll probably have to get Caltrans okay to get off there.
The other difference would be the going back to one of the original variations of the trail, mm-hmm. having it on the 41 side, mm-hmm. through the wide area between Portola and where the trail's going to end.
Go through that
between,
again.
Between the creek and 41.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than crossing over, going on the other side of the creek, we were looking at ways to get on the other side of the creek at Portola, mm-hmm. And go along that side. Mm-hmm. We're recommending keeping it on the Highway 41 side of the creek there.
But from Portola to San Gabriel?
Yes.
Right. And at that area, there isn't too much difficulties in doing the trail. What happened was at the beginning we were going to try to keep it on that side of the street all the way down to the I guess it'd be the Carmelita crossing or whatever you want to call it, the one that goes through the channel, and it just became almost impossible but to do it in a sense that would be an enjoyable walking experience, it wouldn't be, because you'd be walking and the cars and the trucks are going to be within a few feet of you. So
right, yeah, that's. Yeah.
So I definitely think
you know, whether if we build the trail in that area at all, we've got to do it where the existing trail is, or put it close to existing, where the existing trail is on the north side, or I guess that would be the east side, northeast side of the channel. So,
Mr. Jack.
In essence, are you pretty much supportive of the ad hoc committee's recommendations here?
Are these
something that you could...
Well, it's not really my role to be supportive or unsupportive. We're sort of your staff in a sense. You know, we're working with you and city staff and these organizations to build something that you want. And so if you don't want something, we won't do it. And if you want something, we'll try to do it.
Okay.
I guess is the best I can,
got out of that one.
But
I
can say.
But does it make sense to you as a compromise solution?
It does. The biggest question I have is just in going back to the state and saying, we were talking about it, I was talking to Paige at the break, we were talking about the fact that I don't question that we can't probably push the envelope and get some improvements along the creek channel past the end of where it is we end the trail. Is that 50 feet, 200 feet, or 300 feet, but if we try to push it, this is probably half a mile or something like that. I have a feeling they're going to come back, because they make such a big deal about the fact that it has to be maintained for 20 years. And if we have a sign up that says unmaintained trail from here, but we're going to maintain the vegetation, and the way their agency handles this grant is different than probably some other agencies. It was a trail that had improvements of the creek channel incorporated with it, as opposed to a creek channel improvement that happened to have a trail that, you know, attached to it. So, well, we'll go to bat for you guys. Whatever it is, we'll try to figure out a way to try to make it work. I have a feeling that we're going to have a hard time pushing the improvements, like, putting boulders and signs up at the far end. Doesn't mean that you couldn't do some of that work or put your own boulders in or something up there, but I have a feeling that we might have a hard time getting the state to pay for it up at the far end there if we don't have some sort of an improved trail. But I don't know. We'll do what you guys tell us to do.
I have a question.
Mr. Segrist, I think.
For clarity, as I understand it, I'm a little too close. With the ad hoc recommendation, we will no longer, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rod, but I think we agreed on that Carmelita Drive would no longer be a portion of this trail as far as a maintained trail, and therefore the bridge pedestrian crossing, based on what DJ was saying, would be affected.
Yeah, I believe that is the case. We're not including that Carmelita link in our recommendation, so... by eliminating that, we've basically eliminated the
bridge.
The bridge.
Yeah.
Possibly.
It would be, I'm sure that would be a hard one to justify, that we're going to have an unmaintained trail, and then we're going to try to get the people in wheelchairs to the unmaintained trail.
And as an ad hoc committee member, I didn't realize that myself, so I have a little mixed feelings on that. Okay. But what kind of concerns me is the... ending the trail. I was for ending the trail and recommended that along with everyone else in the committee. But hearing that the maintenance of the, or not maintenance, but the clearing of the creek, so, you know, water control, I'm thinking it save the city money in the end, that we don't have to come along and try to clear that area out for better improving our water control. We're losing that. We're also losing the boulder control, it sounds like to me, at the dry vehicle crossing that we have now. And what I mean by the boulder control in the ad hoc recommendation, it wasn't to boulder across it because of safety issues, but it was to boulder on each side going east and west of the creek, which was going to help control the off-road vehicles from going up the creek, which has been a lot of concern to people that have come to these ad hoc committee meetings. So we're losing those two things by dead-ending the trail. And so at this point, that kind of, you know, brings a concern to me and some mixed feelings. I'm not sure how to solve that.
Farmy?
Well, my question is to staff. The recommendation is that the commission recommend approval of the proposed enhancement project. Is that what was presented before the ad hoc committee made their proposal?
That's essentially in concurrence with the ad hoc committee proposal.
Okay,
so
thank
it's
you.
One and the same.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Jay that, I mean, we are losing a lot by stopping the trail, but the whole reason we did that is because there were so many people that said, no, don't, not behind my house, not there. So, I mean, I feel like we got a lot of praise for having compromise with those people, and it is a big sacrifice to sacrifice that restoration. That is a very beautiful area, and it is a big loss, but I don't think it's right to just kind of push past the public and say, you know, this restoration is more important than all of your opinions put together. So as much restoration as we can do, the better, but I don't think we can put that part of the trail in.
Any other comments? Sandy.
I'd like to move that we accept the ad hoc committee's report and proceed accordingly.
I'll second it.
Okay, I'd like to have a little bit of discussion here myself. I haven't really weighed in on this, and I have sympathy for the people that don't want this, incursion into their private area. I understand that. On the other hand, I live on a street that people are walking by, 20 feet from my front door. I get along just fine. I wonder if the intrusion that this represents is as significant as they think, and whether that isn't a decent trade-off for the benefits that this is going to have. I feel like something like this, and the full creek restoration, I think it's one of those things that is probably these are very important things. They're very subtle things in our everyday lives, but nonetheless, they're very important to have, well maintained, if this is the way you can put it, or protected creek for the habitat, for the water quality, the erosion control. These things are actually going to help people maintain their property lines because the erosion will be less. And then when you get to the benefits to the public of trail systems, I don't think that you can have too many feet of trails. The problems were all brought up in the discussion in the public comment tonight about obesity, heart problems, too much TV, not enough walking. It comes right down to that. And I think that for myself, this is where I would come out on this. I would rather see the full trail enhancement project as proposed by the RCD. I guess that just about sums it up. I could go on, but it's pretty much that's my feeling on it. So we do have a motion on the floor, though. And is there any other discussion?
Yeah, discussion. Can I ask another question, please? I hate to put you on the spot, Brady, but I want to put you on the spot. Well, this is very close to you and the department.
What are you asking me?
Well, I'm not real sure.
That makes two of us all the time.
Good God. I love it, Barbie.
You've been so involved in all of this. Do you feel that the ad hoc recommendation, are we going to come out with what we really want and need if we accept the ad hoc? Oh, I really put you on a spot. I'm going to take that back. It's getting late.
Somebody's going to shoot me when I leave the meeting tonight, no matter what I say.
That's all right. I won't put you on the spot. I won't do that. He's turning off his mic, so that's my answer.
Yeah, his mic is it's broken. Yeah, that's nice.
That's my answer. I just hope that that the process was fair to all of the people that were involved in that first meeting that we had, and that those people who are still a little bit uncomfortable with it will feel that it maybe is a compromise, and like you said, that it addresses some of the concerns of the people that live along the creek. So anyway, sorry, Brady, to do that to you. I woke you up, though.
Rob, were you?
I guess I agree with Jay that in our ad hoc discussions, I didn't realize that we were losing the enhancement benefits by losing that portion of the trail. I guess we didn't have full discussion regarding that, and but I thought we did ask that question, whether we could have one without the other. And my understanding, the answer is yes, that could possibly happen. And I guess my question now for RCD staff would be, what is the minimum improvement would be a 4 foot wide maintained trail?
4 foot wide, maintained for 20 years.
20 years.
That's the what they say is that if they give us $833,000 or whatever it is, the amount, that they don't want to invest $833,000 and then have the trail go away in 10 years or 5 years or something like that, and we can't get through anymore. They want the trail to be maintained. My understanding is that we're buying into the maintaining the trail and maintaining the other improvements, which would be benches, signs, that sort of thing. I have a feeling that, we're going to do a sign and a bench that has the least amount of maintenance and also meets your goals in terms of whatever design issues you'd like to have with that, just like the houses or the building designs we were talking about earlier today. But it has to be maintained. So whatever it is that we put in, and they pay for it, it has to be maintained, whether it's the city or whether it's the civic groups.
What I'm wondering is, yeah, how far can we push that envelope on the minimum amount of improvements?
Yeah.
As far as surface improvements, is a level natural surface that could be maintained?
We told them that we would put in a DG or comparable. So I think in some areas we've been talking about if it was DG is typically a fairly permeable surface in comparison with red rock or something like that. So we wouldn't want to use something that would be a problem that way. We might use gravels or something else, but we have to put something in that will be not just leveling the dirt. Essentially, they're not paying just for leveling the dirt. And I apologize, I've been out of the country till just Tuesday, so it was the first time, you know, I heard this discussion, and my feeling is, I mean, we could go back to the agency and ask. Our timeline issue is sort of getting critical at this point, so we'll be, like I told you earlier, you say do this, and we'll try to go and do it, and we'll find out from them if we could get that kind of latitude. I think we can push the envelope a little bit. I just don't know that we'd be able to say we're going to improve the creek habitat, which to me is great to do, all the way to the crossing and put some boulders up there, but not put the trail up there, because they seem to make such a big deal about the fact that the trail and the improvements are sort of tied together. So, but we'll do what you guys ask us to do.
Jay.
Okay.
I'm sorry, we had to close it. We got to get our vote going here. Sorry.
As far as the ad hoc recommendation, eliminating Carmenita, I think I'm okay with losing the bridge and eliminating walking along Carmenita. And I think we were overcrowding that area by having them going both ways, where they were going down Carmelita, and going and crossing over at the dry crossing and just pretty much surrounding that area. And I did like the compromise, but I'm thinking that at this point I would suggest maybe amending the ad hoc recommendation to this, where basically the RCD asks the agency if the area is not developed by trail, that they could still do the natural improvements. If not, then we're to develop that all the way to the end as proposed, but try to keep it as narrow as possible, say hopefully a 4-foot wide trail from that point on at the dry crossing. I have mixed feelings on doing that, but I just think that in the end it would be the best. So I would suggest that recommendation or that amendment.
Chairman, as a point of order,
you've got to undo the motion.
No.
All right, we have a motion then that
motion.
Would someone care to withdraw their motion? Who was it? Was you, Sandy?
Yeah.
Do you? So we can vote it.
Is there any way we can amend the motion to, I would like to know what the state comes down with. I don't trust the state, I'll tell you right now. So they can't manage their own money, let alone anybody else's. That's a little aside, pet peeve. But I do want to see us get going. I'm comfortable with these. I don't particularly want to withdraw the motion.
Okay.
Vote it up or down, and we'll go from there.
That's what we do. Then roll call, please.
Okay. And this is the motion to accept the ad hoc committee's report and act accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Commissioner Jack.
Yes.
Commissioner Boots.
Yes.
Commissioner Castaneda.
Yes.
Commissioner Osman.
Left.
Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't realize that. Commissioner Leivick.
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Sechrist.
Yes.
And Chairperson Matthews.
No.
5-1 motion passes.
Thank you. Okay.
To end the motion, you have to vote it down.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Our next item here is the committee and liaison reports. The Atascadero Youth Task Force next meeting March 7th at 7 a.m. at the Pavilion Lakeside Room. And then now for staff comments and announcements, Brady.
Yes, I just want to let you know we had a tremendously successful father-daughter dance here at the Pavilion. It was sold out, and we could have probably sold out another 300 tickets. We were actually turning people away at City Hall. In fact, it was pretty hard for the receptionist there in City Hall. There was actually little girls in tears, and we just couldn't accept anymore, but it was very successful. We're trying to find a bigger place than this Pavilion to have the event, so maybe we can figure that out. I'm not sure where that is in Atascadero. Maybe the high school gym or something. I don't know, but it probably would work. I wanted to commend Jennifer Fanning and our new pavilion coordinator, if you haven't met her, Ashley Harris, is now working here, and she's doing a great job. We're very, very pleased. In fact, I'll probably invite her to our next meeting just so you could meet her, and maybe she can tell you some of the things we're doing in terms of pavilion maintenance and things like that. The countywide commissioner's workshop is Saturday morning. We need to be there by about 8:30, and that's when introductions start. Those of us that are attending can carpool there, And maybe after the meeting we can kind of arrange who wants to drive, and then we'll make sure we can all get up there. And it's going to be a very good workshop. I put a flyer on your diocese.
Do you want to just do that right now?
Sure.
I mean, there's nobody left.
just
us chickens.
I know we've got Jeff. Paula's driving on her own. Jeff's going. I'm going. Sam?
I'm going to get there a little early.
Okay. And Sandy, you're going. Rick, you're going. Barbie, Rob, Jay.
Jeff, I can't. Brady, I can't go. I have to take care of Mother that day.
So, Carmen, you're going, and Jay's going. I have baseball practice, so I'm going to have to leave a little early. You know, I have to be back by 1. So anybody can ride with me, but they may have to ride back with somebody else. And so,
where should we meet?
I'm thinking, do you want to go 46 or 41? We can meet right here at Dos Amigos at like 7:45.
Okay.
Would that be good?
Yeah.
Okay, 7:45 at Dos Amigos. And then we'll just leave a couple cars there, and then we'll all take off.
Great.
Okay.
So what time are you leaving?
7:45.
7:45. If I can find
Dos Amigos.
Else, take care of Mother, okay.
So we'll be there at 8. At what time? 7:45. Did you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then that should get us there.
We gotta be there
in time to Hearst Castle.
No, that's early.
The George C. Beatty Skate Park Ribbon Cutting Ceremony, you're all invited. I hope you can attend. It's 5 p.m. next Tuesday, the 28th. We're going to have refreshments. We're going to have a skate demonstration. It's going to be really neat. Rick's going to make a speech, and we're going to have Susan Beatty, George's widow, there. It's going to be really nice. So I hope you can all attend. We've got a wonderful partner, the Mobley Skate Shop, that's going in on Traffic Way. They're bringing in, they're going to do sales and rentals there. They're going to have loaner helmets free to the kids. They're going to be sponsoring Monster Skate Park Series. They're going to put in 2 flat plasma screen TVs. They're putting a stereo system in. They're putting a lot of money into the build. It'll be like Atascadero Magazine, and the front part will be City News, and the back part of it will be Recreation Guide activity information. Next Stadium Park planning meeting is March 9th at 6:30 p.m. at City Hall. Our first meeting went very well. I think a lot of you were able to attend. And finally, I just wanted to mention one of our very own, Sandy Jack, the distinguished Sandy Jack, got a Community Services Award down in San Luis Obispo at Parks and Recreation Society. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Brady.
I just have something to say, Madam Chairman.
Mr.
Chairman. And that was that I came over to the dance to take pictures for the Atascadero News, and I could not believe this place was just vibrating. It was jumping. It was just crazy. And there were dads out there doing the Macarena or whatever it's called. I saw one dance with one dad with 3 little girls, and he was dancing with all 3 of them at the same time. So that was interesting. It was fantastic, and I really didn't know how that was going to turn out. I mean, I heard it was successful last year. I heard it from you. But you guys have got to come and just pop your head in the pavilion and take a look. It's fantastic. Kurt Stone was here with his 3 daughters. Alan Baker was here with his daughter. It was, and the little girls were all dressed up, all just cute as they could be. And then there's one other thing I want to tell you guys, and that is we've got to spread the word about how popular the skate park is. I was on the phone with somebody who's here in town, ought to know better, and she said, what about the youth center? And I told her that was coming up, and she said, well, what are they going to use that feed building for? And I said, well, that's going to be the skate park. And I told her, she said, well, wasn't that kind of an expensive building for a skate park? Are there really that many kids that'll use it? I'm going to have her come to the opening. I couldn't believe it. We ought to really pass the word out there.
And there will be kids in there. I mean, they can't wait to get in.
That's what I just...
Next Stadium Park. Well, I said next...
Stadium Park.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, because Brady mentioned that one.